Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
So I have one little hockey-related item.
Okay, I do too, but I'm worried that it's the same as yours.
Is yours related to the Philadelphia Flyers?
It is.
So I guess we're on the same page. Did you see their new mascot, Gritty?
I saw it, and I don't know what your initial reaction was.
It scared me.
Well, I wasn't scared, but I'm like, is this like Yuppie's long-lost cousin?
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Hello?
Skippy?
That was some ring.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, you can change your ringer on your phone like every hour if you want. There's so many different variations.
That's true.
What's going on? Is it raining where you are?
No, it's fall weather at its best.
Well, that usually includes rain.
Yeah, well, you know, hot and cold here and there. What's happening in Toronto?
It's raining here and I won't get to play tennis today. So yeah, that's that.
That's that. Okay, that's the weather report. On to the show.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, actually.
You messaged me that you had so many things to talk about. You wanted to record an episode badly. A lot of things are on your mind.
I have a lot of little things.
Yeah. I have, like, obviously, like, I want to talk baseball. I'm sure that's part of what you're it's on 100%. Your list as well. Maybe the start of the NHL season. But, like, why don't you lead the way and I'll just kind of follow.
Major League Baseball.
I have to start off. I have a lot of little things, but I have one big thing, long story, I guess you could call it, that our listeners won't care about, but I want to tell you the story anyway. And basically, you know how I always say when you're trying to decide who should win the MVP or who should win the Cy Young, I don't look at the team that the player plays on. I just cover up all the names. I cover up the names of the team. I cover up the name of the player, in fact. And I look at the numbers because that's how to determine, you know, who's the best, by looking at the numbers. And there are certain numbers that I actually value and certain numbers that I don't. For example, for a pitcher, I could care less about wins. A guy could win 20 games. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, which is why I'm all for Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young.
Do you think he will win?
I think he has a very good chance. Really, his only competition is Max Scherzer. And the only thing that Max Scherzer has over DeGrom is that Scherzer struck out 300 guys this year. And I can't remember the last time that anyone did that.
In this day and age, 300 strikeouts is quite an achievement, you know, given all the pitch counts that pitchers are under. I know you're going to tell me that strikeouts are up, which is true. There's a lot more strikeouts now than there ever was. But also pitchers, like, to get 300 strikeouts, how many innings did he have to pitch? 250, you know?
I don't know, but there's only like four pitchers, I think, in all of baseball who actually go more than five innings a start these days.
Verlander, Scherzer, maybe a couple of others.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So his 300 strikeouts are a big deal. But DeGrom's ERA was insanely low. Yeah. And I don't care that he had no wins. He played on a lousy team.
Yeah. Well, wins is like an imperfect stat, like very imperfect. And, you know, it's meant to show, like, when a pitcher is, 20-5, then you say, well, his team did well when he pitched. That's what it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to tell you, is he really good? Is he really great? Does he suck? But, I mean, it gives you a general idea of how a pitcher did, you know, how a team did when a pitcher pitched. But, you know, in this day and age of advanced stats and every single number can be dissected, you know, it's very old fashioned, you know.
So listen to this story that has to do with wins, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It also has to do with my fantasy team.
Oh boy. The number one rule for sports podcasts is don't talk about your fantasy team.
Well, I mean, but, I want to tell you the story because I made it to the finals. I was playing against Book, who you know and our listeners know.
Yeah.
And Book finished just ahead of me in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And also he beat me every time he played me in the regular season. So if our game ended in a tie, he had the tiebreaker, meaning that I had to win outright. And so, you know,
it's a big advantage.
That's it. It is.
Yeah.
So there are 10 categories in our pool, the usual categories. And by like Wednesday, it pretty much was apparent that 7 of the categories were already determined. And there were really only 3 categories that could change one way or the other. And those were ERA, WHIP, and WINS.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep in mind also, I should tell you that a few weeks, like right when our playoffs started around September 1st, I decided to get rid of all my relief pitchers because they weren't really doing anything for me. I didn't have any of the superstar closers and my guys were barely getting saves. So if they're not getting saves, they're useless. And I figured I'd rather carry all starting pitchers. This way I'm sure to get a lot of innings pitched. I'm sure to get a lot of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so I'm foregoing one category off the bat. So we're playing in our head-to-head week. And also, you know that on the last day of the MLB regular season, all the games start at the same time. So they all end at roughly the same time. There's no Sunday night baseball. There's no late games, nothing like that.
Right. All the games start at 3 Eastern.
Right. And the last week of the regular season in any league is a joke because teams decide, oh, you know, we're not going to use this guy because it's the last game and it's meaningless. Or what happened to me, I was supposed to have 2 extra starters pitching on the last day, but both those teams were going to be in the playoffs and wanted to save their arms for their first postseason game.
Okay.
So I only had 2 starters going now on the last day of the season, and he also had 1 starter going. His starter did not get a win. Both of my starters were shelled and were out of the game by the 3rd inning. So now
you couldn't catch up in ERA and WHIP.
I couldn't catch up in ERA and WHIP. But I did have all my guys in my lineup, and I knew that the Red Sox were going to use Eduardo Rodriguez out of the bullpen this week. And I knew that the Cleveland Indians were going to use Trevor Bauer out of the bullpen this week. So there was a chance that those guys might pitch for me on Sunday. And sure enough, Trevor Bauer actually did pitch. He pitched the last 4 innings of the Cleveland game, and he got a save, which was useless to me because I had no saves anyway.
Save, a 4-inning save.
Yeah. And Eduardo Rodriguez also pitched on Sunday. The Red Sox beat the Yankees, I think it was 10-2, and they used 7 or 8 different pitchers that day. Everyone pitched an inning, I think, except for their starter Rick Porcello, who only pitched 2 innings. But when he left the game, they already had a huge lead. So I know that, and I'm sure you know also, that if a starter doesn't go at least 5 innings, he can't get the win.
Right.
So, you know, all the games ended on Sunday. And sure enough, as I said, since Wednesday, the score in our game had been 5-5, and it stayed 5-5. All the games ended. And so I realized it's over, and I didn't win the game. And so I called Book. I left him a message. I said, congratulations, you know, you won. We tied, but you won because you have the tiebreaker. So, you know, whatever. I don't even know when he was going to listen to the message. And then I hang up the phone, and I go back to look at my app. For some strange reason, I don't know why I even looked at it again. And then I saw that the score in our game changed to 5-4.
Oh boy.
Meaning that we had a category that was tied, which it wasn't like that a minute earlier. So I went back to look, and sure enough, we had tied in wins. And I'm thinking, did they give me credit for a win from like Wednesday or something that I don't know about? And I look at the Sunday stats. And turns out that Eduardo Rodriguez, who pitched an inning for the Red Sox, got the win. And I'm confused. How did he get the win? They used 7 different pitchers. How did he get the win? I knew it wouldn't be Porcello, but I didn't know who it was going to be. And so I was texting with a few friends on Sunday, both of whom listened to the show, Derek and Dave. They don't know each other. And I was wondering, like, I said to them, how does he get credit for the win? They both sent me the rule, like a link to the rule. So it turns out that if the starter doesn't go 5, the official scorer of the game, by the way, the game was in Boston, can decide which pitcher of all the 5 or 6 or 7 pitchers that pitched, which pitcher deserves the win based on how he pitched.
Oh, my Lord.
And Rodriguez, he did pitch a clean inning, 1 inning, no runs, no hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. I looked at all the other pitchers that pitched for the Red Sox that day. The only one that pitched better than him was Kimbrel, who pitched the 9th. He pitched 1 inning, no runs, no hits, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. So I don't know why, but the scorer decided to give the win to Rodriguez. I got a win, and I ended up winning the week and therefore winning the fantasy league.
So the official scorer in Boston affected Yahoo Fantasy big time by basically giving you the championship.
100%. And who knows how many other people he affected.
Well, it is an obscure rule, and it probably doesn't come into effect that much because, you know, when the starters get knocked out of the starters usually go five, and if not, it means they kind of pitched badly. And like right. in this situation, the Red Sox were so far ahead by the time anything, like, right off the bat, right?
Exactly.
It's so bizarre. I can't even believe it.
I was stunned. And then Book called me when he realized it, and he had not heard my message yet.
He just thought you won. Like, yeah. Congratulations, you won.
He didn't understand it either. He had to look it up before he called. So anyway, it was just the whole, like, it was really literally a roller coaster afternoon.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, following my team, and there was one game that was being televised, and it wasn't the game I wanted to see. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe this. And then at one point, one of his relievers had come into the game, and he was getting lit up. And so it looked like I might actually pass him in whip.
Oh, boy.
But then they took him out. So that wasn't going to happen anymore.
So here you are complaining to me a few minutes ago about how useless the win stat is. Mm-hmm. How it should, you know, it shouldn't even matter. But yet you love it because it made you win.
I mean, it paid off for me this time around. But that just shows you, like, if an official score can just say, yeah. You know, I think this guy pitched really well. I'll give him the win. So, I mean...
So
that must tell you that, you know, how much weight can you put on a stat like that?
Yeah. So that was the fantasy baseball update.
Yes.
The last one till next year.
Correct.
And hopefully we didn't lose too many listeners during that little story.
Hopefully
not. But we don't care. It says it right on our website. The whole show is about how sports affects us, right?
Exactly. And this affected me in a huge way.
Big time. Big time. So do you want to talk about, like, regular baseball? Have you been watching a lot of the playoffs so far?
I've watched almost everything. Up until yesterday, I didn't watch that much. But I have to tell you, October is going to be rough because the games end late. And yeah. I insist on staying up till the end. And therefore, the next morning, the next day, I pay for it. So
that first game that went 13 innings, I was dead the next day. Dead.
You know, I dozed off and then woke up and dozed off. Like, I was in and out of that game.
Same thing. I fell asleep and then I heard the winning run. I'm like, oh, they won. I'm like, okay, I'll go to bed now.
But let me tell you about that game. So a few things that I noticed from that game. First of all, I think at one point the Rockies made a double switch and took Charlie Blackmon out of the game.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have no idea why they did that.
I don't understand. I mean, I get double switches, but
yeah.
You don't take out one of your top two or three players. You just don't.
I think the manager was thinking the game was going to be long. There was a chance it's going to be this marathon. And, you know, he wasn't going to have enough pitchers. But I don't think they fully understand the concept of the double switch. I mean, it just, if you replace a different batter in the lineup, the batter before Blackmon, right? Like,
yeah.
Or whatever it is, like, it's all it is saving you a couple of batters in the lineup so your pitcher doesn't get up as quickly. But, like, clearly, like, you just, I mean, if I was manager, in quotes, if I was manager, but, like, you don't double switch and remove your one of your top, like, he's like the second best hitter on their team pretty much, like, you know, like,
yeah.
why do you take out one of your best players, you know?
I didn't understand it. And then, of course, his spot came up to bat again. And I don't know who was in his spot, but it certainly wasn't anyone as good as Charlie Blackmon.
No, for sure not. And I mean, Madden double switched for the Cubs. He took out Rizzo and he brought in that, what's his name?
Terrence Gore.
God, you texted me that there's a 12-year-old playing the outfield for the Cubs.
He looks like a little kid, Terrence Gore.
He really does. But that move I understood because they were down. They were playing for one run. They brought in their speediest player, a guy who you told me the stat. He has like 5 at bats and 6 stolen bases on the season, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. So, like, they were playing for one run and it worked out. Like, they got the run one run. Terrence Gore scored the tying run. So, I mean, yeah, he had to come up and bat again and he looked kind of foolish up there. You know, they would have much preferred to have Rizzo batting, I'm sure.
He tried to get hit by a pitch, or he claimed that he did get hit by a pitch so he could take his base, but then they reviewed it and he didn't get hit, so he had to bat and he ended up striking out, I think, on a 3-2 pitch.
It was Little League style, yeah.
But you brought up Joe Maddon. Yeah. You know, everyone talks about how much of a genius Joe Maddon is. I've noticed, like, this year and even the year that the Cubs won the World Series, he overmanages and he makes mistakes. Like, he has this reputation of being a genius, so now everyone thinks he is a genius. Yeah. But I don't think he's such a good manager.
Well, you know, whenever we talk about baseball playoffs, it always brings me back to, like, the start of this podcast. Like, the first episodes we did was all about mm-hmm. the Cubs and the Indians, the World Series. That's when we launched this thing. And we said at the time, like, man, was he ever overmanaging during the playoffs. He got so lucky so many times. Yeah. And you listen to Kornheiser. Wilbon, who's a huge Cubs fan, he'd be happy if Madden was let go. Kind of wants him to get fired, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, they won their World Series. And I even said to you at the time, just because they have a stacked roster doesn't mean they're going to win it every year. And sure enough, they haven't won it since.
No, they haven't. And the team is different. It's not even, I mean, it is the same guys, but the pitching's not the same. They don't have Chapman. Maybe Rizzo and Bryant are not as impact players as they were that year. Clearly Baez is, we only had a taste of Baez 2 years ago of how good he might have been, you know. But mm-hmm. I mean, in the playoffs this year, don't you feel that all the four teams in the American League are better than any of the teams in the National League?
Yes. And by the way, have you noticed that in the postseason, every single home team has won every game except for the Cubs, Rockies wildcard game?
I didn't notice that, but I mean, normally home field advantage doesn't...
In baseball, it doesn't usually mean that much.
Shouldn't really, you know, shouldn't really. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, sticking with the Cubs, another thing I noticed, when Pedro Strop came into the game to pitch...
Yeah, I knew you would talk about this.
It looked like his hat was going to fall off every time he threw a pitch. Like, it was slanted on some kind of angle. I don't think he knows how to wear his hat.
Right, like, you see there's some players that wear their hat a little bit sideways... Right?
Like I've Fernando seen that Rodney, before. I think, is another
yeah.
one.
Yeah, like you see that. But like you said, Pedro Strop, his hat looks like it's actually going to fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, 2018, this is the modern ball player. They're all about, he's trying to stand out, I guess. I don't know. He's quite a good pitcher.
Did you notice who was at the Cubs game?
A fan or a celebrity?
No. Not really a celebrity.
No.
It was the Marlins man. He was sitting behind home plate again.
Ah, well, the Marlins man. We talked about him so many times.
In his orange jersey.
His money, I'd probably also go to every baseball game, doesn't matter where it was.
Why not? What else do you have to do?
Exactly. I'd wear an Expos jersey. I'd be the Expos man, or you would be anyways.
But that doesn't stick out as much as orange does.
No, that's true. He wears the fluorescent colors, right?
Yeah. And then another thing I noticed... all the Colorado games when they keep showing the Rockies manager, Buddy Black.
Yeah.
I find he looks a lot like Davey Johnson, like a younger Davey Johnson.
Yeah, not the Davey Johnson of like 10, 15 years ago, not like the current Davey Johnson who's like old.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah. Then did you, in the Yankees game last night, they show the managers so many times. Every at bat, three times an at bat, they show the dugouts and this guy, and they're flipping. It's very like frustrating to watch in a way. But like Aaron Boone, he looks like his ears are humongous.
I haven't noticed that.
He has his baseball hat on, and it's really
next time I see a Yankees game.
It's really low, his hat, and then his ears really stand out. He just looks super funny, and I get the feeling like he doesn't even know what he's doing.
You know why they keep showing the managers? Because there's so much time between pitches. What else are they going to show you?
The games are so long. They're so long.
And it's weird. It's weird because this year, actually, during the regular season, the games were a little bit shorter. Not much, but a little bit. Like, they put in these rules to speed up the game. But aren't the
rules still going now? The speed up
I don't
rules?
Know. Like, did they throw out the rules for the postseason? Because it seems like the games are longer ever since the postseason started.
Yesterday, there was games. Like, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, right? Like, there was four games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong on the times, you know, 1:30, 4:30, whatever it is.
Right.
On the guide, like on TV, you should be able to watch like all these games. But of course, they have it scheduled for 3 hours and the game goes like 3.5 hours or even four. Like I wanted to watch the Brewers game, but the early game was only in the seventh inning. So, like, I had to, like, figure out. They put it on one of the channels, you know? But, like, it's really, like, you really actually can't watch all four games in a row because to their completion. Not, I don't know if you'd want to watch 12 hours of baseball or 15 in one day. But but it's the games are too long. We talked about this forever. The games are too long, and I don't know. They tried to speed them up, but it's crazy in the playoffs how things get slow.
So just to clarify, the official start times for the four games yesterday.
Yeah.
2:05 for the first game. Wow. 4:15 for the second game. So there was obviously going to be an overlap no matter what.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why.
And then 7:32 for the third game, and then 9:37 for the fourth game. So there was going to be an overlap there as well, regardless.
Yeah. I guess whatever. Yeah. That's the playoffs. It's like Major League Baseball's never really learned their lesson for 25 years. And, you know, about start times and shortening the game. And that's why only people our age watch this stuff.
Well, they care, first of all, television dictates the start times.
Yeah.
And all they care about is having the more viewers. And so you're going to have more people watching a night game than you will a day game, no matter what.
I know. But when the game ends at 1 o'clock in the morning, how can any kid watch?
You know? Well, I mean, part of the thing was there was a game in Los Angeles. So
no, I know. This is the first round, but this, you know how it's going to be in the World Series. The games are going to start at 8:30.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did you, how close were we? Like when we look back to our baseball preview from like many, many months ago, were we accurate? I mean, I feel like we were accurate in the American League because it was like almost a foregone conclusion, the playoff teams, right?
But so I'm looking at both our preseason predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So we both had the Red Sox in the AL East. We both had the Indians in the AL Central. We both had the Astros in the AL West. And we both had the Yankees as one of the wildcard teams.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing is we didn't get the Oakland A's. No one did. You had the LA Angels and I had the Twins.
Okay, so I mean, not bad. Pretty good. But I mean, it wasn't really complicated to make those picks. Like,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
In the NL, we both had the Nationals in the East. We were wrong.
Eey.
We both had the Cubs in the Central. We were wrong.
Well, they made the playoffs, yeah.
We both had the Dodgers in the West. We were right. And we both had the Brewers as a wild card team. So we were sort of make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, it's all separated by one playoff game there.
Literally.
The division winner.
One extra game. Yeah. And then the second wild card, neither of us had Colorado. You had Arizona. I had the Giants.
Oh, boy, the Giants. Oh, my God. What a lost season they had.
And then for individual awards, which haven't been announced yet, but we did touch on it earlier, AL MVP, you had Stanton. I had Correa in the AL. No. So I don't think either of us are getting that right.
Certainly not.
AL Cy Young, we both had Kluber. And he had a good season, but I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young.
Who will it be? Verlander.
Verlander or the guy on the Rays. The guy on
Tampa, yeah.
Is it Blake Snell?
Yeah.
And then AL Rookie, you had Shohei Ohtani. I had Gleyber Torres. Both of us still have a shot at that.
They both had good year. Well, Ohtani went healthy, and Gleyber Torres was good.
NL MVP, we were both wrong. You had Bryce Harper. I had Paul Goldschmidt. That's not going to happen.
Bryce Harper seemed like such a good pick at the time.
Yeah, going into his free agent year for sure.
Yeah.
And then NL Cy Young, you had Clayton Kershaw. I had Max Scherzer.
Oh, so you could get that one.
And then NL Rookie, we both picked Ronald Acuna, although neither of us knew who Juan Soto was at the time.
Soto's great, but Acuna's going to be the Rookie of the Year for sure.
Well, Acuna played more games, so
yeah,
he has a bit of an advantage there.
You know, I have to give you props. I've been thinking about, well, I mean, we talk all the time and text all the time, so it's weird to say that I was thinking about you. But, you know, 2 years ago, you were telling me how Nolan Arenado should have been the MVP. And then all of a sudden, everybody's on the Nolan Arenado bandwagon talking about how great he is. I even heard people saying he's on a track for the Hall of Fame, which is like a little bit crazy since he's still so young. But he had another great year. His team was in made it to the postseason, but I guess it's going to be Yelich.
Yeah, I don't think Arenado is going to win the MVP, but Yelich had a great year and he certainly deserves it. So
it's also the better story, I feel, Yelich, which is a lot of time that's what the MVP voting is about.
You know? Right. I wonder if, I know the voting only applies to the regular season, but have they already done the vote or are they waiting to do it? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either when they vote.
Because even though you're not supposed to include postseason when you're voting, how do you eliminate that from your brain if you do the voting afterwards?
You can't. You can't. I bet you they voted already.
I hope they did. Anyway, one thing I want to talk about what happened in the regular season before
we're going hard on baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before, because we hardly talked about baseball, funny enough, in the summer.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you noticed that in the last week of the season, CC Sabathia, in his last start, he needed to pitch a certain amount of innings to get his $50,000 bonus. Yeah. And he missed it by two innings because he intentionally hit a batter and got tossed from the game and got suspended.
Yeah.
So this whole incident bothers me for so many reasons. First of all, how it's like they're so childish, these players, that like, oh, you hit my guy, I have to hit your guy. Like, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Like, they're still doing this. It's so annoying to me.
Well, you know, CC, he went in the dugout. He consulted the unwritten rule book, you know, chapter 3, section 4, paragraph 12, and it says you got to hit a batter. So that's what he did.
So I understand, if the rule book is unwritten, where is it? How do you find this rule book? Where is it located?
It's the beauty of the unwritten rule book. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
So then, I mean, you would think that if I'm the pitcher and like, okay, my teammates want me to hit the guy, I have to show that I'm a good teammate, yada, yada, yada. But then I'm thinking, you know, if I don't hit him and I pitch two more innings, I get another $50,000. Now, I get that these guys get paid millions of dollars, but like $50,000, I could do some things with $50,000.
Yeah, but he's made probably $100 million in his career.
I don't know, $100 million. That's a lot.
He's been in the league for like 15 years. And at one point, I'm sure he was making more than 10. I don't know. We could look it up. But okay, $50 million? I don't know. Right? He's made a lot of money.
But
I don't think $50,000 is like effective.
Then they suspend him for 5 games, but he doesn't serve it until next year. Like, that's so annoying.
That is bad, because the purpose of a suspension is to punish someone for a wrongdoing. But he could retire.
That's right.
He could retire and never serve his suspension. Actually, exactly. There's a strong chance that could happen. I'd say it's 50-50.
Well, everything's 50-50, right? It's either going to happen or it's not.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to punish him, then he needs to feel the punishment. That he needs to let, it needs to have some weight to it. And by suspending him, you know, like that is kind of silly.
Very annoying.
Yeah.
I got no more baseball stuff.
That's a lot of baseball.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's October.
I can't wait to watch more playoff baseball. It's awesome. Love it. Watching it every night. It's great.
Yesterday was the best day because there were 4 games, and that might not happen again till next year now.
Yeah, because they're going to stagger the games now, the rest of the ALDS. And then once the league championship series start, then there's only, you know, there's less series going on, and they.
Like, there could be 4 games on Monday if, you know, certain series go that far.
Yeah, well, certainly the Dodgers series looks like it might be wrapped up already. Although, you never know. A 5-game series, anything could happen, honestly.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm sure Major League Baseball didn't even realize that they put a potential 4 games on Thanksgiving Monday, Thanksgiving in Canada.
Well, they don't care about Canada.
No, they don't. But how funny is that? That we don't have to work and we can actually watch all 4 games if it happens.
By the way, happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
And to all our American listeners, yes, Canadian Thanksgiving is in October.
Yeah, with the exchange rate, we do it a month earlier.
That's right. That's right. So you want to segue into, let me read your mind, into hockey.
The National Hockey League.
Yes, you read my mind.
How do you like the start of the regular season?
So, first of all, you know that I don't really pay attention to hockey until November.
Right, until the baseball players sort of finished.
Right, but I did watch the first period of the Canadiens' first game because, you know, baseball hadn't started yet, so I had an hour to kill.
Yeah, Habs, Leafs, it was a pretty interesting matchup, you know, for the first game and everything.
And the only thing that stuck out to me about that game is who was a healthy scratch for the Canadiens?
Plekanec?
Okay, besides him.
Alzner.
That's right. This Alzner is a guy who last summer they went out and they made a huge splash thinking this is the last piece we need to make that Stanley Cup run and we're going to go get Carl Alzner, and now he's not even playing.
I give the coach a lot of credit because I think he recognizes Alzner sucks, and he's like, I'm not going to play this guy if he sucks. I don't care what his contract is, right? And also, he needs to kind of reward, he needs to make like a feeling among the team that hard work and playing well is going to be rewarded. So this guy, Xavier Ouellette, kind of had a really good training camp and he won the job. So what kind of message are you sending to your team if you like say, well, yeah, I know this kid played really well, but we got to play Alzner because he's making $5 million.
So I applaud the coach for doing that because you don't see many coaches actually doing that. You see usually they put the guy in who's got the $5 million deal because their hands are tied or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So he's not playing now, like he's a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
And then Shea Weber is going to come back eventually.
Yeah.
So he's going to fall even lower on the depth chart, not higher.
Yeah. Well, look, maybe we don't know what's going to happen. There's only one game, so maybe Alzner's going to play the second game, and maybe they're going to rotate the fifth and sixth D-man. Who knows? I prefer they play Alzner because they'll be worse with him in the lineup, and they'll have better draft pick.
And if they're going to try to trade him, I don't know what team would want him, but if they're going to try to trade him, they have to play him.
How can they trade him? Who wants that? Who wants this contract for 4 years?
They got all these really long-term deals. I mean, even if like all these young guys on the team, you know, somehow become really good in the next 2-3 years. They're still saddled with all these long-term deals and these old guys.
Yeah.
And I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I really don't.
No, I really don't. Actually, as you know, there was an election in Quebec on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you vote for?
Oh, that's private.
Okay.
But a friend of mine on Facebook posted, like, what has a better chance of happening?
Is this like the math question I asked you on the last episode?
Yeah, a liberal majority in the next 4 years, because the Liberal Party are the ones that lost this election mm-hmm. that just happened. So they're saying a liberal majority in the next 4 years, or Habs win the Stanley Cup in the next 4 years. And I'm like, of course a liberal majority, because in 4 years from now when there's an election, I would say there's a great chance that they could win a majority, and the Habs have like very small chance of winning a cup, right?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there, even though the Liberals did lose by a lot in this one.
Yeah, they did.
You can turn things around more quickly in politics than you can in hockey.
That's absolutely true. But what were your impressions of the game? I mean, I felt like the Canadians were as advertised, like if you ask me.
I only watched the first period, but I heard that the Leafs did not play very well in the third, because they have so much firepower, they can just turn on the switch when they feel like it in the overtime and win. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the overtime's 3-on-3, so it's a skills competition, and the Leafs have the best lineup in the whole league for 3-on-3. I mean, like, Matthews is out there, and then Tavares is out there, the chances of a goal is pretty high, you know?
Yeah.
And the Canadians played exactly how they said they were going to play. A lot of speed, a lot of youth, a lot of like energy and passion and hustle and forecheck, and they outplayed the Leafs for the whole game, but the Canadians don't have enough skill you know, they're playing with all that passion and everything, but like they just don't have enough skill. And, you know, Matthews scored 2 goals and Tavares scored 1 goal, and all 3 of those goals were like, you know, unstoppable shots. Mm-hmm. and that's that, you know, like the 2 goals that Matthews scored, like there's no goalie in the world that can stop those shots. Like it's impossible, you know, like what are you gonna do?
We need to back up a few weeks because I haven't really had a chance to talk about Max Domi's suspension.
Oh, well, okay. I don't have much to say about it, but
well, first of all, I had heard about what happened. I didn't see it yet. I saw, you know, on the ticker and I heard on the radio, you know, sucker punch, suspended, whatever. It took about 24, 48 hours before I finally saw the play.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I might be in the minority here, but when I heard that he sucker punched him and then I saw the actual replay, he didn't sucker punch him. Like, I'm not saying it was fine. It was like, okay, no, what he did. But I'm not saying that.
But facing
like,
each other.
They were facing each other. Like, the guy saw the punch coming. He could have, you know, put up his arm and blocked it or something, but he chose to just stand there and let his face get hit. Now, you shouldn't engage someone in a fight who doesn't want to fight. I'm totally for that. And so Domi does deserve a suspension. But I mean, the suspension wasn't even a suspension. They suspended him for their whole preseason. Big deal. Domi's probably going home and saying, oh, look, I get a nice extended vacation. This is great.
the suspension in the preseason is just like a gift for the player. He's like, I don't have to play any of these useless games now. I can just relax until the season starts.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I guess it goes on his record in terms of like, you know, previous suspensions. But, you know, for me, you're right about the sucker punch. When they call that a sucker punch, I'm like, wow, the definition of a sucker punch kind of changed. To me, a sucker punch is like, I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine now.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Slager on Gilbert Delorme. Do you remember this?
I think I remember. Is this during like Easter or Passover or
something? Yeah, it was like the Canadiens Quebec super, one of those crazy games, you know, where there are a million fights. And I think Gilbert Delorme didn't really play after that. It might have ended his career. I'm not even sure.
Mm-hmm.
I might get the names wrong. But I seem to have that in the back of my head. But yeah,
I thought it might have been Jean Hamel involved in that.
That's what it is. Jean Hamel. That's what it is. But it was Louis Slager on the Nordiques, for sure. That I got right. Yeah.
But I mean, my definition of a sucker punch is if you punch someone and he doesn't see it coming, like from behind or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's not what Max Domi did.
I know you want to talk about suspensions. What about Tom Wilson?
Okay, well, so Tom Wilson deserved at least 20 games, so thank God he got 20 games.
At least,
I don't think he even belongs in hockey at all, and I've heard now he's appealing it, and I'm so upset if they reduce it. Even to 19 games, I'd be so upset.
For the first time in our life, I feel like the NHL actually is trying to set a tone or some kind of precedent with a suspension. You know, like... If you're right, if they reduce it, that's baby la la. That's really
it makes bad
form. They're sending a totally wrong message if it gets reduced. And you know what's so stupid? It's a stupid players association that's appealing on his behalf, right?
Right. So but the player that he hit, that he injured, is also part of the players association.
I know. It's so stupid. Like, the players association is a joke when they appeal these. Because
100%.
The whole point is safety of the players. That should be more important than how many games suspension a player gets.
Meanwhile, in the Bruins-Capitals game, Capitals won 7-0. Lars Eller scores a goal and then celebrates. And then on his next shift, Brad Marchand destroys him. Like, Brad Marchand is another guy. I don't care that he's a good player or that he can score goals or whatever. He's another player that doesn't belong in the league. And you know what? If I'm building a team, whether it's an NHL team or an Olympic team or a World Cup team or whatever, I would rather lose than have Brad Marchand on my team.
Well, you don't have the same high standards as most of the NHL GMs, because I think Marchand would be a pretty sought after player. Although he is like the ultimate loser, if you ask me. Like he's just like, can't stand him.
Look, he's also a repeat offender, just like Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
And he was suspended, as you recall. Like, he should not have played in last year's All-Star game because he was suspended at the time.
Right.
But they let him play.
Right.
And then he got all kinds of boos, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only difference is Marchand scores goals.
Yeah, that's true.
But neither of them belong in the league. Neither player like that belongs in the league.
Well, let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope that the NHL does the right thing and then Wilson's suspension is not reduced. Because it's really like, I was actually impressed with the NHL for a first time in a long time with that suspension.
One last thing about hockey
that
I didn't even realize. Yaroslav Halak, I'm a fan of his, he's on the Bruins. Did you even know he's on the Bruins?
I did, because my son is still a huge Halak fan, and he still claims that, like, if a team would start him, they could win the Stanley Cup. And
I'm with your son on that.
Yeah, well, look, I think most of the GMs, there's at least 5 or 6 NHL GMs that disagree, because he's bounced around from team to team since he's been traded.
Mm-hmm.
At one point with the Islanders, not like a good team, the Islanders, he was in the
minors. He was good on the Islanders.
He was in the minors at one point with the Islanders.
But he was good before that.
Yeah, I think the Bruins made a shrewd acquisition getting him, because he's a good player, he's a good goalie, and certainly when you look for a backup, you're trying to get someone. Look, if your starting goalie goes down and he's out for the season, you're screwed no matter what, honestly. Right?
Who's the backup on the Canadiens?
Antti Niemi.
Oh, I forgot about him.
So the Bruins made a good acquisition, because if anything happens to Tuukka Rask, Halak could come in for a couple of weeks and, like, do the job, you know? I don't know if he could carry the team for, you know, 60 starts, but certainly for 15 to 20 he could.
I got nothing else.
the National Football League.
Are you going to watch football tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm actually more interested in baseball, first of all. And if it's a nice day, I'll try and go out and play tennis. So I don't know. Like, I don't actually, even though I make picks on every single game and I'm in this pick 'em pool, I prefer to not watch the games.
There's some interesting games tomorrow, like at least three games to keep your eye out for. One of them is the Battle of the Losers, Atlanta and Pittsburgh. One of the, that's like, you don't watch wrestling, but like in WWE, there's a kind of match called like loser goes home match or like loser quit. So basically the loser of this game is like their season's over. Even the winner is going to have a hard time getting back into the playoff picture, but certainly the loser's gone.
Yeah.
The other good game, obviously, I think the marquee matchup of the day is the Chiefs-Jaguars, like the number one offense versus the number one defense. Mm-hmm. That's definitely appealing. I know you're like on the Pat Mahomes bandwagon.
Yeah, I would love to see. I know it's only week four, but I'd love to see the Chiefs and the Rams in the Super Bowl.
I found this stat on Twitter, an NFL account. 2018, the Chiefs are 4-0. In 2017, they started 5-0. 2013, they were 9-0. 2010, they were 3-0. 2003, they were 9-0. And 1996, they were 4-0. And the common thread since 96 is they never won a playoff game. So I'm holding out my judgment on the Chiefs until a little later in the season. Let's see how they, if they can keep it up. But I mean, certainly they're definitely exciting to watch. There's no doubt about it.
The only difference between this year and those other years is that there's no defense in the NFL anymore. So the chances of the Chiefs coming up against a good defensive team in the playoffs is not as high now. I mean, there's really in their conference, if they can avoid facing the Jaguars, then they should be okay. Now, I mean, some might say they will face the Jaguars. We'll have to wait and see, obviously.
But I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if like there's going to be playoffs games. There's going to be playoff games this year in the NFL that are going to be 45-42.
I know. Well, the Super Bowl last year was high scoring. It seemed like every team was scoring on every possession.
The greatest stat of the Super Bowl last year is Tom Brady set a Super Bowl record last year. He threw for over 500 yards in the Super Bowl and his team lost. That is still something that you will like, you will tell people and they're like, what? He threw for 500 yards and his team lost? Like, that's just crazy. So, like, just segueing to the Eagles, the other big game is Eagles-Vikings. It's a rematch of the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, what's going on with the Eagles this year? I pick them in my pick 'em pool every week and they annoy me.
Yeah, they're frustrating to watch. The offense is not clicking like it was all of last year. I mean, you can chalk some of it up to injuries. They haven't had all their receivers or running backs. Wentz has played two games, so I mean, Wentz certainly looks good throwing the ball, but he doesn't look mobile, or he's maybe scared to run, or maybe he can't run. He hasn't been scrambling and running around as much, which is a huge part of his game. And the defense, while it's still very good, it got exposed. The defensive backs don't look as strong. And if they, like the Eagles' whole thing is they need to get the pass rush. If they don't get pressure on the quarterback, they're screwed because their defensive backs are not great.
All right.
So that's the NFL. I'm excited to watch.
Okay, cool. How's the zone?
It's okay. Look, I signed up for a month. I got a month free. And I have it in my calendar the day that I need to cancel by. And I will cancel, I have to say. It's been good because we want to watch the Eagles and they haven't been on TV the last few weeks. So we've been able to watch them on the zone, which is fine. I find the quality is not good enough. For the $20 a month that they want, the quality is only okay. It's not, they say it's HD, but I don't feel that it is. And I watched some Champions League soccer and it was okay. You know, I found also the quality on there was even worse. But I mean, I feel that for $20 a month, unless you're a hardcore fan, I don't think it's worth it.
So you had mentioned to me that the reason you got it was because you wanted to see soccer that used to be on TSN.
Mm-hmm.
But every Saturday when I turn on my TV, I see that there's Premier League soccer on TSN and Sportsnet every Saturday morning. So which soccer is it that you're talking about?
That's what I just said, the Champions League. So TSN had the rights to the Champions League. I know, you're rolling your eyes. You don't care. But it's the Champions
League. I don't know the difference. It's not that I don't care. I don't know the difference.
I'm not even going to explain it. But suffice it to say that the Champions League is no longer on TSN, so it's on the zone. So before we sign off, I want to remind you that to make sure you never miss an episode of the Skip and Josh podcast, you got to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or the podcast app of your choice. And as you know, we're on iHeartRadio. And Josh, the huge news that I shared with everybody this week.
Yeah.
We are now on Spotify. Took a year to get on there, but it's pretty cool, right?
Well, because you were so persistent, you kept hounding them month after month trying to get on there, and it finally worked.
Finally, they got to let us on. They let us on. This is great. So I was really happy that we're on Spotify. I feel like we hit the big time now. If we'd love to hear you from you via email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Tell us ideas for topics on the show, what you like about the show, what you don't like. You can also tweet us at Skip and Josh or like and follow our Facebook page. And as always, skipandjosh.com has all the links to everything.
Awesome.
How do you want to close the show? You have anything extra to add?
Yeah, in the category of who cares or does anyone care, the Devils and Oilers played a couple of games overseas this week. Mm. And this is at least the second year in a row the NHL has done this.
Yeah.
And it's a head scratcher for me. I don't know why they do it. I don't know who actually cares. I don't know who actually watches, but anyway, that's really all I had to say about it.
No one knows. Like, the only reason why I knew that they were playing those games was because I follow a Devils reporter on Twitter, someone who used to work in Montreal market. And yeah, it's kind of useless. I guess they're trying to open up that Asia market, but
I don't even know where the game was, to be honest.
It's like as if the game didn't even happen, right?
Yeah, it almost didn't.
It almost didn't. We see the box score. That's the only proof.
Right.
Yeah. I went to see a movie last night.
Which movie?
A Star is Born.
So this is like the fourth or fifth version of the movie?
Well, not in our lifetime. I mean, the first versions were like in the 30s and 40s, and then the previous one was 1976. But
okay.
It's a good movie. My wife didn't love it as much as me, but definitely worth going to see. I would recommend it to anybody.
So it's is it Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper directed the movie, and Lady Gaga is one of the co-stars with him. And she's great. She's really great. She's not the Lady Gaga that you know from pop music, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
By the way, one other quick thing. You know, I watch PTI every day, and they never talk about hockey. In the last 10 days, though, they've mentioned hockey 3 times. And of course, it all had to do with thuggery. They mentioned Max Domi, they mentioned Tom Wilson, and they mentioned Brad Marchand.
Unreal. But it happens all. That's how it is. ESPN, the only time they talk about hockey is when there's suspensions.
Yeah.
Right? They don't care about the actual games on the ice. It's just who's suspended. And look at all the violence, you know?
It's a shame.
It's a shame. Too bad. We appreciate hockey in Canada. Maybe one day things will change. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you next time.
All right, have a good week.